Well, hello again, Turdville. This is Turd here. It is Thursday, the 20th of August, 2015, and instead of a regular webinar today, I thought we would do something a little different and talk about something a little different, a topic that may not necessarily be for everybody, but it's been something I wanted to do for quite some time, and it's a guest I've wanted to visit with for quite some time. A few months back, one of our valued Turdites here that goes by the name Clark Istomius turned me on to the site called The Next Right Step, and it is authored by a gentleman by the name of Charlie Johnston. And in getting to know Charlie Cy a little bit, reading about him and the work that he does, I thought this would really be an interesting gentleman to talk to, because just as here at TFMR, we talk about the end of the great Keynesian experiment and economic collapse that is inevitable, and we monitor all of the different geopolitical crises and wondering where it's all headed, Charlie on his site does much of the same, but as you'll find out, comes at it from a little different angle, but something that is right in tune with what we discuss here. So, Charlie, with that as a, I guess, as a beginning, thank you for spending some time with me this afternoon, and welcome to Turdville.
Well, thank you, Greg. Glad to be here.
You know, so many times when I introduce somebody new, I try to come up with a bio and write and introduce them. But I think in your case, I'm going to let you do it yourself. Would you mind just kind of taking a couple of minutes and just tell everybody who you are and what makes what you do so unique?
Okay. Most of my life, I lived fairly normally. I worked in media. I was a managing editor of some newspapers. I was a radio talk show host in the Chicago area for a while. Probably for the last 20 years that I worked regularly, I was a political consultant running a bunch of federal races, Senate races, congressional races, that sort of thing. Did some consulting with the Republican delegation in Washington, mainly through various members and that. But what is truly unusual is that all of my life I have been visited by angels and heavenly beings, which I kept to myself until 20 years ago when I first started talking to some serious Orthodox priests about it. And the thing that I was told from the time I was a kid was that in my lifetime, the world was going to enter into the greatest crisis in the history of Western civilization, that it would feel like the end, but it would not be the end. In fact, it would be God renewing the world, giving us one more chance. We have messed things up, and I had saw a lot of the details, as you know, from reading the site. Certainly, I've been writing about them for the priests for the 20 years, about the times we were going into what I call a great storm, a global civil war where all the economies of the world collapse, where everything, there's war all over the place. And when I say a global civil war, what is a civil war? Brother against brother, even in the same country and that. And, of course, now the only people who don't see it happening are those who are determined not to see. But the truth is, Craig, everybody sees. I mean, right. I went in preparation for this in 2011, February 11th of 2011, knew that the times were upon us, and I did a pilgrimage. I walked across the country, 3,200 miles over a year and a half, sleeping in the woods, and people would often ask me, why are you doing this? And I had to tell over 1,000 people across the country. I'd tell them very simply. I wasn't talking about prophetic things then. It wasn't time to go with that. I'd tell them that I think the world's in a lot of trouble, and we're not going to get out of it this time. That we worry about the things we're going to lose, and we've got good reason to worry. But what we've lost sight of is that our only reliable source of security is in God. And the most authentic way we reach out to God in this world is by reaching out to each other. So I was walking as a prayer for the world, and I was as throwing myself on a radical dependence on God during that time. Amazingly, of at least over 1,000 people that I would say that to, in the entire country, only three people disagreed with me.
How about that?
Everybody. They shake their head when I get done saying the first part, that we're in a lot of trouble and we're not getting out of it this time. They let out a huge breath and say, I know.
Yeah.
I remember the elegant professor at the University of Mississippi, that a woman I thought she'd be a lefty. and she let out her breath. She says, I don't know what to tell my students. She said, I just don't see how we get past this one.
Yep.
This time. We're just getting worse and worse. So everybody knows. When it was all scary stuff, I didn't like to talk about it, except to my priest. But now everybody sees the scary stuff. Even most of those who are in denial see the scary stuff. And so now when I tell them it's not the end, God has a plan, it's profoundly hopeful, which is a lot easier for me to talk to people about.
Well, and
that's pretty sketch.
And that's what, like I said, it what you have seen, what has been shown to you, what has been revealed to you, is consistent with so many other angles that where people have discovered, you know, this point that we are in history. You know, there are folks in the market that follow market cycles. There's these guys, Strauss and Howe, that wrote this series of books about something they call the fourth turning a few years back, and how we're in that fourth turning again now, kind of a generational thing that crises periods come every 70 or 80 years. There's a lot of folks on this side and others that are really interested in this, I guess I'd call it a Shemitah.
Right.
The kind of the Jewish, if you will, cycle of debt crises and debt forgiveness, and how that's coming even this year. And all of these things come together. And that's why I thought, with the, do I call it visions, Charlie? What's the right way to describe what you've been shown?
Visions or visitations. I think visitations.
Visitations, okay. And you have seen this storm, as you call it, coming really almost your whole life, not really wanting to talk about it until the time that when it needed to be spoken of. And now the storm really, as you say, started in 2009, and now we're kind of in the ending stages of it. Is that right?
No.
Okay.
We are preparing to get into the fullness of it.
Got it. Well, ending stages meaning we've only got maybe 2 or 3 years left of the storm.
Right. Okay. That's a good way of putting it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, go. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go back to we're now entering into the fullness of it.
Right. I mean, the fullness of it is when all the institutions, everything has broken down. The rule of law has already broken down.
Yep.
The monetary system, the economics of the world, that's all held together with Elmer's glue and paper clips right now. We've stressed it. I mean, it's like a balloon. If you keep making it bigger without creating more, eventually it pops.
Mm-hmm.
We're popping. There are societies, as you know, that have had a top before. But here's what's the difference. It's popping in the whole world right now.
Right.
I mean, for crying out loud, you look at world debt. One of the things I tell, right now I'm on a speaking tour around the country. I've been to 15 cities now, and I got about 20 left to go. And what I tell people often, we don't owe more money than exists in the world. We now owe more money than has existed combined in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get out of that without a reset.
Exactly.
We got ourselves into a blind alley on that. You look at the systems all over, you see the eruptions. It's like a boiler getting ready to explode. You see little eruptions of flame. You see it in Greece. You see it in the flares in American cities right now.
Yep.
The military situation across the world. You've got China getting adventurous in the South China Sea. You've got ISIS cutting a wide swath through the Middle East, through North Africa, through East Asia, and that. You've got sections, large sections of both France and Great Britain that the police dare not go because they've ceded authority over to them to another force. You've got Russia feeling adventurous, and Russia, I don't think, particularly feels adventurous. I think Russia actually has a better idea of how much trouble the world is in and is trying to come up with some sort of way to protect itself. Mm-hmm. So the world right now is more volatile than it was prior to World War II. It's more volatile prior than it was to World War I. We're about to enter into the fullness of the whole thing. When you have other regional societies, like the Weimar Republic in Germany, like Yugoslavia, Pancho Villa's Mexico, the American Confederacy go down, you had a backup plan. You had other countries that were not collapsing that could help each other, that could, you know, help to rebuild. When the whole globe goes down, you don't have that. The only hope now we have is through God and with each other. And that's the difference this time. There's no backup plan.
Well, and you're right
there. We're walking without a net.
That's exactly right. And you know, the concern we often talk about here at this site is that if we are transitioning again to a new economic monetary regime, you know, as we went from different reserve currencies in the past, you know, most recent being the pound sterling and then a transition into the dollar after World War II and Bretton Woods. But those transitions don't usually occur peacefully. You know, who had the power usually ends up defending it. And so we worry a lot about geopolitical things. And there's certainly a lot of that going on. As you approach this from, I keep trying to come up with the right word is, theological point of view or
religious point of view.
Okay. What do you see in the storm from a geopolitical and war sense? I mean, is it safe to say, Charlie, that it gets worse as we move into toward the end of 2017, or is it just kind of a general conflagration of events that just persists until it finally
ends? No, it's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. You ain't seen nothing yet.
That's what I was afraid you'd say.
Yeah, politics, traditional politics, I've been telling my friends since 2007 that traditional politics is already a dead man walking.
Right.
You know, last year, I know some people, right after the election, and I worked for the Republican side, the conservative side, when I was doing that sort of work. But some people after the election in 2014 had said that, well, Charlie, we're going to start getting it right. And I wrote a column, Mammon has fallen. And in fact, I'm going to reprint that column very soon. Said that, no, it's not what you think. It's good that people are turning away from the disastrous policies that have done it, but it's already too late.
Right.
But all that election would show was how impotent the system is to even address these issues.
Yep, you're right there.
And if you look at what the new Republican Congress has done, they certainly have shown how impotent they are.
That's right.
You know, we don't have a political solution. This is a cultural and spiritual crisis. The way it's going to be resolved is by every little person doing. And I want to make this clear. This is very important. The thing that I emphasize is acknowledge God, take the next right step, and be a sign of hope to those around you. The way of simplicity. The next right step means we can't do what's right in front of you. We can't do great things. We're not going to save all the starving children in Africa. We're not going to save everybody talks about that. They don't notice when their neighbor is in trouble. Do what's right in front of you. Now, people who are wiser realize how little that is that they can do. Don't be deterred by that. What you need to remember is that the same God, the same Jesus, who took two fishes and a loaf from a little boy and fed 5,000 can do the same when you do your little efforts. He is a God of abundance. What that means, you're never going to have more than two fishes to give it. But God does not interfere with our free will. But you resolutely decide that I am going to do what little I can right in front of me. What you're doing is you're inviting, and you acknowledge God, you're inviting him to come in. And then multiply those efforts, and they are abundantly fruitful. That's what's going to save us.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the hero from Central Casting in Hollywood. movie coming along. It's going to be each of us doing the little we can, loving each other, caring for each other, and trusting God to provide. And He will.
And anybody listening can see why I was attracted to Charlie Seitt and couldn't wait to have him on and get to know him a little bit, because, I mean, that's a message. You don't have to be Catholic or even Christian to understand the wisdom of that. You don't even have to be a practicing of any faith. I mean, a lot of that is, you know, just common sense that goodness grows from working individually. And that's a lot of, you know, those of you that have been out there and on this site for 5 years, you recognize a lot of those same themes in that general along the watchtower theme of this site that we've always had. Charlie, if I could ask you, though, just one more thing about this current time. You've written a couple of times about how this current period, this storm, is marked by what you often call deception. You know, and we talk about a lot at the site, about we call it the lies, the spin, and the management of perception, the mope, to try to convince everybody that everything's okay. Well, that's all deception. The economic statistics are deception. And like I said, you read a lot about how much of this storm is marked by deception. You also, though, wrote that you had a vision late last year that of a fountain of demons, if I wrote it down right, targeting the most pious. Because seems like there's a lot of that going on. Yeah, exactly. Does that not seem like a lot of that has been happening in 2015?
Oh yeah. I hear from people all the time, the most pious people, their families. Our families are divided. There's an assault coming from all directions. There's a great confusion out there. And I try to encourage people, but Satan knows his time is short, so he's trying to capture as many as he can. Trust God. This is one of the things, and with priests I deal with, and I deal with a lot of priests and pastors. By the way, I do emphasize, one of the things I have been told, I was told long ago, was that during this period, we are to treat all Christians, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, and Jews, faithful Christians and Jews, as equal and full partners in the work, that God himself will see to the unity, which will be one of the fruits of this work.
Yeah.
And we are to treat all other people of goodwill as neighbors, as true neighbors in working with this. So I want to get to that. But as far as the deception, as far as that going around, I mean, right now, I told you before we started, I felt sorry for poor Jimmy Carter. You know, things went south under his watch, but he didn't change the way the statistics were done.
Yeah.
He dealt with it honestly.
Right.
Right now, the federal government, we changed the way we measure unemployment. It's like, you know, if you've got blood pressure at 140 over 80, you've got high blood pressure. It's like having an incompetent doctor who says, well, the way I'm going to treat that is I'm going to declare that it's not high until you get to 160 over 100.
Or I'm going to...
That's not going to stop you from being killed.
Or I'm going to adjust the machine somehow. I'm going to change the measurements of the machine. Yeah, exactly.
And what we've done, for example, you know how we treat unemployment now. If you give up entirely, then you're not counted as unemployed.
Exactly.
Anymore.
You're
That's
just
like
ignored.
Telling a doctor on staff that, okay, we'll consider a successful operation one where the patient recovers completely before he dies. That's incompetence.
Right.
A lot of people are going to die, and yet the numbers are going to show that he's had a lot of successful operations. And then inflation, so ridiculous. You know, we don't count energy and we don't count food and inflation statistics anymore. So that's like telling a dietitian saying, okay, you need to lose weight. I'm going to put you on a 1,500 calorie a day diet. But don't worry. We're not going to count cakes, pies, cookies, candy, and fried foods as part of the calorie. You can be way under it and you're still ballooning up.
Right.
That's what's happening to us.
Right.
We're lying about the way we measure the statistics because they can't fix things.
That's right.
And the people in charge, they keep going along as if it means something. None of it means anything. Already, because it was my old work, I still pay a little attention. In fact, every time before I go make a presentation, I look at the Drudge Report to see if there's any new disaster that I really need to pay attention to in case I'm asked about it.
Right. I know the feeling.
But it's all coming through. You know, the law means nothing. It's just who has the superior will. What crank of a judge can you get to say whatever you want him to say? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Right. And it's that generalized loss of faith then in the institutions that feeds into this kind of dissolution and this coming storm. Charlie, you're being very generous with your time, and I know you're a very busy guy, and I'm really grateful that we have a chance to talk. And hopefully we can do this again in the future. But as we wrap up, though, clearly there is some rough sledding ahead, and the markets reflect that. Anybody that's, like you said, got their eyes open and pay attention can sense it coming. And nothing that has been done has fixed it, nor will be able to keep it from coming. And again, you write about it and talk about it being the storm that you have been shown for decades coming to fruition. You talk about it lasting into late 2017, but you've also said that it's not the end of the world. This is not Armageddon and the apocalypse and all that second coming. It is instead, though, I guess a time of crisis, a time of cleansing. It does have a happy ending, though, and that's where I thought maybe we should leave this conversation today. Rather than the doom and the gloom, let's at least pull back the curtain a little bit and tell everybody a little bit about the happy ending that, if we can see our way through this, hopefully awaits.
Sure. My message now, I didn't start speaking publicly until it was hopeful. The whole thing is, this is not the end. I've been told since the early 60s, when my memories first go back to dealing with this, that this would feel like the end, but it's not the end. It's God renewing his people. The reason we got into this situation is because we think we're sufficient to ourselves. We think we are the type. We are filled with all sorts of vanity, that we can come up with a plan.
Yeah.
That we have got everything under control. God is going to strip away the vanity. That's what this storm is about. He's going to strip away the vanity of everyone in the world of thinking that they're great and powerful. And once that's done, he's sending Our Lady to rescue us miraculously and visibly. And we'll go into a new world. Now, it will be the same as the old world, except in our interior lives, we will know that there is God, and that the whole point of things is not to be the great and powerful, but to care for each other, to act truly like a family, rather than acting like roving bunches of rival warlords, which is what the world has degenerated into in our individual lives, as well as in national life and everything. The difference being, right now, our culture has gotten so toxic that no matter how good you try to be, it's like living in inner city Detroit.
Yeah.
You're constantly under assault. Yeah. You can never have confidence when your kids walk off the school that they're going to come back, okay? The difference will be, it's like going to be like living in Mayberry, where people do build each other up, where people do support each other, where people try to do the right things, try to be kind to each other and care about each other rather than just themselves. We're being given a second chance on this. It's one of the reasons. It's one of the reasons why our Lord sends Our Lady to rescue us. When He physically comes again, that's the end.
Right.
This is not the end. This is the beginning. I often think, you know, one of the things I think about when I do my rosary at the Ascension. I think when Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples, just a month and a half before, they had seen the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of those disciples have got to think that, wow, what we thought was an ending was actually a great beginning.
Right.
And we have a part.
Right.
It's
funny.
It looks like an ending. Yeah, it's a beginning.
As you say that, I'm sitting here thinking while you're talking, Charlie. It's almost an apostolic gift, if you will, in that, you know, you and I were visiting, server, for everyone listening, Charlie and I were talking a little bit before we started, and I was mentioning to you how one of my favorite saints is Saint Paul, in that he was, you know, he was a hater of Christians and a persecutor of Christians until he was given this great vision, this great opportunity. And the apostles were the same way. And they lived their lives differently after the, much differently than after they were given this, again, this apostolic vision. And in a sense, if this goes the way you've described and have been told it's going to be, all of us are going to get some version of that same vision almost, are we not?
Yeah, we are. And I want you to remember, if you take the way of simplicity, next right step, acknowledge God, be a sign of hope. God has chosen everyone who lives in this time to live in this time. You do the way of simplicity, and you do it with steadfast resolve and trust. And I tell you that your children, your grandchildren, generations now will look back and call this the greatest generation. Not the World War II, but this generation, the greatest generation, because it will build and give fruit that will last. And it's a great gift for us. But it sure don't feel like it right now.
Sure. Yeah, and like any great gift, I mean, you know, you have to earn it. You have trials and tribulations you go through. You know, you work your, put yourself through college and you get a degree. Your gift at the end is that degree and you feel like you've accomplished something. You know, there's always work and tribulation that has to be done to get to the end. And it, in a sense, I guess that's what we're living through now. Charlie, it's been a real pleasure to visit with you. And I just really think it's interesting and valuable how what you write about and what has been shown to you fits right into what, you know, these everyday insights that we all follow here about where this is headed. And I just wish you the best in your travels and hope that you're blessed and kept safe. And I hopefully we can visit again soon and you can give us an update on where we stand in this process.
I will. God bless you, Greg.
All right, my friend. Safe travels.